This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. I almost hate to ask, but how are you?
Well, a little bit cold.
Yeah.
You know, I've been through the wars this week.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen this kind of cold weather and snow. I don't remember years and years.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been snowed in, as you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was 3 degrees, 5 degrees below zero. And then we had the rolling blackouts, you know. The electricity went off every hour.
Oh,
every hour.
Really?
So you couldn't. And what we were trying to decide is the next time electricity came on, did we have time to heat something? Did we have time to cook anything?
Wow.
And we decided biscuits were out of the question. That wasn't going to work.
Yeah, that takes too long.
It takes too long. We couldn't wait for it to heat up and do it, you know?
Yeah.
So we decided sandwiches was the best deal.
Mm. Oh, who doesn't love sandwiches?
That's right. So we went with that that one day. And then, of course, that night, electricity came back on and stayed on. We've been lucky.
Good. How long was your power off when it would go off?
Oh, 30 minutes at a time.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it'd come on for a little bit, and then the next hour it'd come on for a little bit, but it wasn't long. And I couldn't even get both fireplaces to work.
Mm.
I could only get one, so you can imagine how cold it was.
Oh, yeah. I saw something on Twitter that somebody, and it was part of another story, but they were saying that their power had come on just long enough so that they could open their flue. Apparently, the flue is electric. It's not just a manual open thing. So it came on long enough to open that, and then they were able to start fires in the fireplace and stuff. But my goodness.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, a lot of people, everything froze. They had no water, couldn't flush their commodes. I mean, it was really bad. And then there was people that was without electricity all this week, and I think some are still without electricity.
Yeah, yeah, I mean.
And that is really bad.
It is really bad, and I mean, because then you've got and I know we're on the good side of it. I know things are getting a little bit better, but you know, still you've got the residual effects that are going to go on for weeks, probably maybe longer. It depends. But didn't you say that you saw one? Is it a plumber that had a ton of calls?
There was one plumber had 2,400 calls.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I mean, he couldn't even handle a third of them.
Yeah.
And so I know that every plumber in town, electricians were out. And then, of course, you know, everybody with CoServe, you know, I imagine they were sleeping at CoServe across the state because they were on the high line wires. They were out trying to restore electricity. Someone told me in this one area there was 6 or 7 trucks in that one area trying to restore the electricity.
Yeah.
It had been out for 4 days.
Wow. That's
yeah.
That's incredible.
It's hard to survive.
We've never seen a storm like this before, or at least in our lifetime. I mean, I think every county in the state had warnings of some kind. It was all the way down to the coast.
It was all the way to the coast. They said it's the first time in history that every county had a storm warning out.
Wow.
Every one of them.
That's amazing.
And we had 7 inches of snow. East of us, they had 10 inches.
Really?
Yes. So it was wide, widespread. And they said it was a 100-year change. First time in 100 years that they'd had storm warnings throughout the whole state.
Yeah. I wonder if we're gonna if we should expect more of them because of maybe some changes in climate, or if you know there's just a new you know phase that's coming in, because it seems like a lot of weather is starting to change a little bit all over the place. Weird things are happening. I wonder if we should plan for these again in the future, like less than 100 years from now.
Well, I would think so, but it may not happen again for 100.
That's true.
And what bothers me, I see these Generacs advertised all year long. And I've always thought, you know, I should buy a Generac. Of course, I never did, and I could have certainly used a gas Generac. I wish I had one.
Yeah.
And a de-icer. Now, everybody in Midland, all the ranchers, probably have de-icers for their stock tanks.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had the stock tank, you know, freeze solid. And, of course, I immediately called the farm store where I get the hay and grain for my llamas, and they said, we sold out.
Really?
I called four or five farm stores that all sold out. You could not buy a de-icer for that stock pond.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And I didn't even know it was a big item.
Yeah.
It is a big item.
Apparently
Walmart advertised like they had 50 different kinds. But if you read the small print, it says, we'll ship it to you.
Really?
It's not at the store. It's not available.
See, it would be days or God knows how long before you'd even get it.
That's right. And, you know, I'm going to prepare. I'm going to go ahead and buy one and do all these things, but I may never need it again. But that's okay. We'll put it up on the shelf.
Yeah. And you know that when this is over, people are going to try to go get like things like generators. They're going to stock up on stuff that they need in case it does happen again. And they'll probably jack the prices up for a while because they know a lot of people want to get
it. I think they will, too. I think the price is going to go way up.
And that's how they get you.
I try. And, of course, I don't know where Generacs are even made, but probably not in Texas because I don't think anybody has ever needed one.
That's true.
But I did do a lot of research on de-icers, what kind to buy, what they do. And the other thing I researched was all these people that have horses, because they told you all different ways to get the stock tank thawed out. So if anybody has livestock and doesn't know how to do that, if they're new, you go online and look at what the ranchers do with their horses.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I read all about it. And what's really funny, the de-icers that I was wanting, they look good on paper. And I'm reading about it. I thought, well, now that one looks really good. And I read it, and it says it will create a couple of holes in the ice to keep your fish alive.
Really?
Yeah. So that's for the cold, cold country, like Minnesota or somewhere, I guess, where they have fish. That's the only thing I could figure out.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even do anything but make two holes to keep your fish alive.
Huh.
Now, that's not the kind of de-icer I wanted. I wanted the kind that you put it, lay it on the ice, and starts melting it.
Yes. I mean, it does widespread.
That's a heat thermometer.
Yeah, you just want holes here and there. What good does that do? I mean, I guess it does
I
something.
I couldn't figure it out. I said, what if somebody buys that and doesn't read it?
Yeah. They're going to be surprised.
You're going to get a big surprise because that ice is not going to melt.
Yeah, and that's not the kind of surprise you want, especially after you get something like that, take all the effort, and then all of a sudden you'll be standing there like, that's it?
Wow. Yeah, you find out that it doesn't even work. And so, no, I looked up all these ranchers, and they all had ways to thaw them. They also had ways to insulate their stock tanks. They insulate them if they're way up north, or somewhere where this happens all the time. They insulate him. Another one said he put his stock tank below ground.
Really?
Yeah, and that you know, kept it from freezing. And so they would have water all the time. And another guy said you need to put a bottle in your stock tank, half full of salt and water, and it will keep it from freezing around there also.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, I read up on it. I said, you know, I need a quick read on how to fix this.
Look at you go, doing all that research.
I love to research things. But I was a little late on it. I should have researched this before it happened.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you had a little time on your hands, so, you know, why not?
I had a lot of time on my hands.
Speaking of the llamas, how are they faring? How did they do?
Well, the llamas seemed to really like the snow. They came out in it. They were playing in it. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, they should be indoors. But they seemed to enjoy it.
Wow. Yeah. I imagine probably they, and I'm trying to think of because I know you've had the llamas for a while. Have they seen snow before, or is this their first one?
I don't think they've ever seen big snowfall. They've seen snow flurries, but not snow like this, 7 inches.
So they just kind of went with it.
They just came out. I looked out there the day that the sun finally came out, and there they were out there.
Wow.
Yeah, they're set in their ways. You know, they're used to going out, so by golly, they went outside. I mean, you know.
It did
they
weren't
going to just... Not they don't have a care in the world.
Exactly.
You know?
Wow. I wish
they
I was a llama.
Same thing every day.
How neat. Wow.
Yeah, they just they have a lot of fur, and I guess it just didn't bother them.
Wow. That's neat.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I thought, you know, I would be in, and I am in. I'm not going to go down and talk to them, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kind of seek shelter, stay in the barn, you know, stay out of the cold. You would think that they would say, hey, as we, you know, meander outside, it's a little chilly out here, and what's all this white stuff everywhere? We're going to go back in, but apparently not.
No, they're set in their ways. They do it same way every day.
Well, this storm, that's going to be the talk probably for a long time, and people will probably remember this for probably forever. And so
I don't think
stories.
They'll ever forget this one. This has been too big.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a tragedy, but there was people who went out and got in their cars because they didn't have any heat, and a lot of them died.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't know to raise the garage door if you've got a car running.
Yeah.
I just can't believe no one would know that.
Yeah, I mean, the carbon monoxide will, and you don't see it coming. It just
yeah,
kinda,
it's a silent killer. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, and that's unfortunate.
And there was a lot of people that, went to motels, hotels, and that was a good thing, too.
Yeah.
Because they were safe there. But I don't understand why the hotels had electricity when no one else did.
You know, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, how did they manage to have electricity? I mean, we didn't. The other day that was really bad, you know, everybody in Texas, you know, at one point it was off. And, you know, we it was off here every hour all day.
Wow. That's incredible.
So I can't imagine that the hotels and motels had electricity.
You know, and that's a good question. And then the other thing is, speaking of motels and hotels, I saw, I think it was, I forget where it was, but there was a lot of, like, reporters that were going, that are stationed, like, in Dallas and a couple in Houston they were talking about. And they were going because they didn't have any power at their house. So they still had to do their reporting and their live shots. They just did them from hotels. So they were going to find, you know, places to stay that had powers. And so they were going to hotels. And a lot of them obviously had large trucks. And they were talking about how, you know, it took them a long time to get to hotels. They were finding places that were like 30 and 45 minutes away, but the whole way there, they were finding people that were, you know, stuck on the road, or they were, in ditches or spun out or needed help of some kind. And they were all talking about how, you know, they stopped and helped every single one of them along the way. And so it's just like, while we're in the middle of all this, it's nice to see people, you know, actually doing stuff to stop and help people. That was nice.
But that's the Texas way.
Exactly.
You know, everybody in Texas helps each other. You know, I've never had a flat in my life, but what a man didn't stop and fix it.
Really?
Never.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've always done that. And that's one thing about Texans. They help each other at any time of need.
Yeah.
They're not like, and I'm always saying that up north.
you're going to go single out New Jersey now, aren't you?
I know. I was thinking about that. They would just leave you out in the cold and let you die.
Yeah, they
you
would.
Know, they wouldn't even help.
No.
But the nice thing is that everybody always stops and helps somebody that's in need.
Yeah. It might be one of these things that kind of, you know, in the middle of you know, a terrible situation. And that's the thing, is it was so terrible because it was the entire state. It's like literally every single county was going through the same thing, or at least something similar. And so it's just like everybody's, you know, going through something, but they still stop to help other people, even though they're in the same boat as other people. So it's
and even though they knew they needed to be at work or to get, you know, to the news station or a place to record, you know, they did stop and help somebody else along the way.
Yeah, it was neat. I heard a lot of stories about that, so that's always refreshing as well. So, but now we're on the upside, and so what did you say next week? What, 60s something?
It's going to get in the 60s next week. The middle of the week, it's going to be 65 degrees. Now explain that to me. I don't understand it.
It's almost like we set the clock on fast forward, and so now instead of like you know, at like regular speed, now we're going like 2 or 3 or 4 times faster than normal, and so we just got a chance to experience all 4 seasons in like 7 days. It's kind of neat.
You think that's neat? You talk to all the people that were without electricity.
I'm trying to find something.
They'll say it wasn't that neat. But now my grandchildren did go out. I hate to say this, but yesterday they just had to. They had to go out and play in the snow.
Really?
So, oh, yeah, they went out for 10 minutes.
For 10
and
minutes.
Then they realized it was pretty doggone cold, so they came right back in.
10 minutes, that was it.
Yeah, 10 minutes. They just had to, and they had double coats on, gloves. They had their parkas on, everything in the world. They had snow boots on. I mean, they were prepared.
Yeah.
And they went out there, and it was about a 10-minute deal.
Yeah, and that was all they could stand.
They couldn't stand any more than that. I think it was 15 when they went out.
Oh, it probably took longer to get all bundled up than what they actually spent outside.
It did, because we kept telling them how cold it was and that they were foolish, but they had to experience it.
Told them they were foolish?
Yes. So they went out there and rolled. They were rolling down the hill.
Oh, neat.
They got on the snow and rolled down it all the way down.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
That sounds like fun for a few minutes.
For a few minutes. And, of course, the new puppy went outside. You know, we kept telling him it's too cold, but we put a sweater and a coat on him. I mean, you know, and he went outside anyway.
Yeah.
And he just loved the snow.
Neat.
Yeah, I mean, it's shocking to me that between the puppy and the children that they had to go play in the snow.
Yeah. Well, you got to take advantage. And then I'm sure people were playing, too. Like, I don't know if you had anybody, you know, on an inner tube, you know, going down the hill or on a trash can top or, you know, skis or anything like that.
No, I didn't see that. But I did see the guy behind a flatbed truck that was skiing behind a flatbed truck. Hey, that's the first thing I saw.
Really?
I
mean, right down the street?
Only in Texas would that happen. Yeah, right down the road. Can you imagine?
That's hilarious. Wow.
It was. I just couldn't believe it.
Wow. And now, by the time we get to next week, we'll all be out by the pool.
Well, it'd be 64. It could happen, couldn't it?
It's close enough.
Oh my gosh!
Well, hopefully we're on the backside and we won't see something like this for a while. Hopefully, anyway.
I hope 100 years.
Yeah, and probably we won't be around in 100 years, but you never know.
I don't think you and I'll be here 100.
Probably not. This is your money.
I don't think that's going to work out.
I know. And if we are, we'll probably be a little bit unhappy about it.
I think we would. We'd have a bad time 100 years from now.
We're going to be sore, and all we want to do is take a nap.
That's right. Just go and curl up with the puppies and things and take a long, long nap.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, but your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And how's everybody at the office? Everybody okay, Clyde and everyone?
Well, everybody is at home. You know, we've got everything fixed where you can do all the work from home. They can answer the phone there. We have it everything fixed.
Okay.
And then the Midland office you know, they had a water burst, and then there was no electricity there. So Claudia has been working from her house all week, and even thinking about going back to the office, then finding out, you know, that they had the water everywhere. We certainly couldn't go back to that.
Yeah.
So it'll be Monday before he went back in the Midland office.
Wow. All right. Well, at least everybody's safe. It's a difficult situation to get through, and there's going to be, you know, residual effects for a couple of weeks. But at least everyone, you know, is okay. So that's a good thing.
And this is the first time I remember all the schools in Texas have been closed all week. Do you realize that?
No, you've got a point.
A whole week without school.
Wow.
Yes, it's too bad for anybody to be at school. So all the schools have closed.
Yeah. I imagine probably a lot of people decided they weren't going to go to school even before the school actually closed.
They probably did. They probably said, the weather's so bad, I'm not even going to consider it.
Yeah. In no way, it's not happening. But,
that's right. So I believe we'll just stay home.
Wow. So how was business this week? Were you able to get things done?
We've gotten some things done. You know, we do believe that we're going to have to cancel the Ginsburg contract. You know, we've been trying to close with Mr. Ginsburg, you know, for 45 days. Mm. And we knew he was really sick when we agreed to buy his policy. And unless something changes overnight, we are going to rescind that contract and put everybody in another policy. This is one of those that showed 30 months. I don't think he's going to make it 3 months.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really terribly ill. He's been too ill to sign the final papers. And, you know, it's just a shame.
Yeah.
He wanted to sell his policy, and we were willing to buy it. We got everybody to agree to it. We reserved all this money for it, and we have not been able to get him to sign it. So unless something drastic changes, we are going to rescind the Ginsburg policy and go on to a different policy.
That was a large one, wasn't it?
It's very large. It was a $5 million policy.
Ooh, Lord.
Yes.
That's a tough one to walk away. But, I mean, I understand.
It's a tough one because we bought it right. We had it bought at the right price. The profit was tremendous on it for everybody. And, you know, it was zeoblastoma. We knew it was incurable. We knew that. Going in, we knew, but I didn't know it would be this short. You know, I kept telling everybody, it's really a good policy. Everybody jumped on board with us. And then he got really ill, and we haven't even been able to get him to sign anything.
Wow, what a shame.
He signed the first documents, but not the final ones that we need to close.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so unless something happens, we're going to put everybody in a different policy and just walk away.
Okay. Well, sometimes those things are out of your hands. I mean, you've done everything you can do on your end, but sometimes
yeah,
it's
we
just
held on longer than we usually would. Usually, we would have canceled immediately, but it was such a good policy, we've just held on and held on, thinking he might make a recovery and be able to sell his policy.
Yeah.
But unless something drastic happens, we're not going to revisit it.
So when something like this happens and you do have to walk away, and I know it doesn't happen too terribly often, I guess, but
no.
When it does, is there other policies on standby that those people
yes,
go into?
Yes, we have two other policies that we can put people in. This one was the first one on the burner. It was the one we really wanted to do. So, you know, that's why we waited on it. But remember, they can rescind. They have 15 days after we sign the contract to rescind, and we also can rescind.
Hmm.
And we did not rescind because it was such a great policy, and we knew that they would make a lot of money on it, you know. So we really wanted to do it, but we are going to rescind and put them in a different policy.
Okay. So what about policy availability for you know, I guess what else is kind of like hanging out there? What's on the near horizon?
Well, we've got two or three policies that we're working right now that we will be putting people in. You know, we have a lot of new clients, as you know, that have come over, and we need to get them in policies. We're going to do that as quick as possible.
Okay. And I assume when, because I know you've had a large influx of new investors. So does anybody ever say anything like, well, you know, is there enough availability for everyone? How does that change the
landscape? They ask me how soon I can get them fully invested. And right now it's 45, 50 days.
Okay.
You know, when you've got a large amount. And these, our new customers are all large investors. So it will take a few days. It's not like somebody comes with $200,000.
Yeah.
You know, you can do that pretty quick. But $1 million takes a lot longer.
Yeah, and that's totally understandable. But I guess the takeaway is that there's room literally for everybody because there's always policies that are coming in. And so it's not like things just kind of like stop and it's a gigantic traffic jam. There's literally, you're always bidding on policies anyway. So, you know, there's...
Yes, we bid policies every week. You have to because you don't know how the bidding will go, whether you're going to get it or if somebody else is going to get it. And sometimes it goes so high that we don't get the bid. And we're lucky the group that we're working with on these policies have large policies. They have the availability, and we can buy them right because we're direct with them and there's not a broker in between. And, you know, we've talked about this. When you have the brokers involved, you know, they can run the policies up to getting buy them.
Yeah.
You know, they run those policies up where they'll make a higher commission. But if you don't have the broker in the middle, then it gets reasonable, very reasonable.
Now that we've got almost a couple months under our belt, how is the relationship with this new company going? Is it?
I think it's going well. It's not fast because they take one policy at a time. They don't bring you, like a lot of people will bring us three or four at a time mm-hmm. for us to bid. And they just bring one for you to bid. We did one, you know, in December with them, and that was a very good deal. So, you know, we're going to have a couple more with them right now, and I think they'll be as good as the one in December.
Cool. So you've got really the avenues, I guess, and correct me if I'm characterizing this wrong, but all this means is that you've got more avenues to get more policies, which should ultimately open things up quite a bit more and create more investment opportunities for more people, right?
That's exactly right. And that's what we're here for, is to create more opportunities for the clients, get them in more policies, and make them more money, because that's the name of the game. They want to retire, and they want to retire early and successful.
So when people come over, these because you said that, I know you got a lot of new investors, but you said a lot of them are large investors. Is this normal, or is this a new trend? Or
I think it's a new trend. We have a lot of people that are selling their businesses. A lot of people have just taken this money out of something else, or they sold a large real estate deal, and so they're bringing that money to us because they want something conservative. They're an age, they're not going to take any risk.
You think it's
a lot of people are taking a lot of risk. They're not going to do it right now. People do not want risk right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a time where I think a lot of people are just saying, hey, there's too much weirdness, there's too much uncertainty, and so we're gonna find something that actually holds its value. And that's what really the whole point of a life settlement is all about, that it does hold its value. So, you know, if something happens in the market, or if another, you know, century storm comes along, or, you know, anything happens, if the bottom falls out of the economy, say, this type of investment holds, it can literally weather any storm, I think.
That's exactly right, because remember, a life insurance policy is always steady. It's the same amount. It doesn't go up. It doesn't go down. It stays just like what you bought it. When we buy a life insurance policy, let's say it has a face amount of $1 million. That insurance company is going to pay $1 million. They're not going to discount it. It's not going to lose value. It's going to be the same from the start to the finish. That's what they love.
Is this a good time for more people to, I guess, do like the trend has been and people to find other alternatives? Is this a good time for people to come over and maybe, you know, set up an account, even if, you know, maybe they may not be in a policy, you know, today, but we're looking, what did you say, 45 days-ish, give or take?
Uh-huh.
They could be in policies. So is this a good time, like in the grand scheme of things?
I think it is, because things are a little uncertain. You know, nobody knows everything's going to happen. You know, America is kind of a crossroads, really. So they're coming over because they know that a life insurance policy will always pay. So it's an investment that they can be sure of that's as conservative as it gets. And then they all realize that the bank handles the investment. You know, the bank is the trustee on everything we do. We don't touch their money. We don't handle it. It's never in our accounts. It's always an account with the bank. That's what I love about what we do, is how conservative it really is.
Yeah, and I would imagine probably the stress of not having to check your portfolio every night and see if you've got anything left. I guess it would probably be a great relief off of people's shoulders when they realize that, you know, hey, no matter what, all I have to do is just, if I have a little bit of patience, just wait for the policy literally to mature, and then I get paid. I don't have to wonder if I'm going to get paid or how much I'm going to get paid, because people know all this going in. They know what they're going to make on the policy, which you don't get anywhere
else. That's exactly right. And if you're in the stock market, you know, yes, it's up right now, but it's been up many, many times over the years. You know, everything's happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. And we do know that all these mutual funds have lost a ton of money. You know, I was talking about it last week. That one fund, they have taken $5 billion out.
Wow.
And I've been reading about all these mutual funds have lost all this money. And some of them are closing. Some of them, everybody's taking their money out because they've had such a big loss. The stock market may be making money, but the mutual funds, a lot of them, are losing money, a lot of it. I don't understand it. You know, I don't know what all is in their mutual fund package, but obviously it's not a success right now.
So if people are seeing profits, or at least recent profits in the stock market, this might be a good time to take it while you're up. Take it and start diversifying and coming over and think about getting into a life settlement, because you've had a lot of, and this is the weird thing that, I guess not weird, but it's the interesting thing. It says a lot when people come over for the first time, because you're talking about new investors that are coming over with large sums of money, like $1 million
right,
coming over to put in these things. It's not like they're just, you know, testing out the water. They know the confidence in this type of investment. And I think that speaks a lot for what people are doing, because, you know, people don't want to take that risk with that large of a sum.
Well, and I think another thing, they work with people that know us. They work with other investors of ours, and the other investors have told them, you know, over the years. Also, they've been listening on the radio for 3 years. If you've been listening for 3 years, you know a lot about the investment.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference if you've been listening that long.
Do people have, you know, by listening to what we talk about, do people have a really good, I know you said that they understand, but do they, when they come in, what are the questions? Because we cover a lot of ground. So do they have, like, specific questions when they come in and talk to you, even after listening for, like, several years?
Not as many as they used to. Apparently we're doing a better job, or they're listening better than they used to, because all these new clients haven't asked that many questions. You know, they will know when I can get them started. I'm telling them approximately when I can get them the first policies. They want to know how they know how to invest. And then I explain that we send them a life expectancy report that gives them all the health, everything about that person. And so they know that that's how they're going to find out about the policy. They know they have to email us back an acceptance. We want it in writing every time they invest. And then we tell them how long it takes them to get their contract. Now, new people are not familiar with the fact that it may take them 30 days to get their contract, because we have all the legal that has to be done even after we have escrowed the money. Because first thing we do, everybody puts their money in escrow. And then the money cannot go and pay that person. Do we have the change of ownership? Everything has to go through legal. When it does, then the bank pays the other people. Again, it's the bank that pays the person we're buying the policy from.
And all these things that you're talking about, the legal stuff and all that, that's handled by other people. The investor doesn't actually have to do this. So what's the hardest part from an investor's point of view, what's the hardest part about a life settlement? What do they have to do?
I think just waiting it out, just especially the first two or three, you know, you're waiting for those maturities. And they love getting notice that they've had a maturity. We had a maturity this week. It was a $250,000 one. It was a smaller one. But it's still, somebody got paid.
Nice.
You know, yeah, the three or four people were in it, and they'll get paid. So if this is why people do it, is to have the income, to have the interest coming in all the time. And it works, you know. It's been working a long time. So that's why we have so many customers and more all the time.
I know you said that the waiting is the hardest part. It's just waiting for the policy to mature. And when we say waiting, it's not that long of a process. I mean, the whole investment itself is a fairly short thing. And I think that's one of the things that you've always said that people like most about it is that we're not looking at, you know, you're not buying policies that you expect to mature in 20 years. We're talking about 18, 20, 30 months. Something like that.
Yeah, and you know, and I see all the time these people advertise that they buy these policies and they're 10, 15 years out.
Jeez.
They're not buying the type of policies we do. That's long term. And I know Europeans do that. Europeans buy long term life of insurance policies. They don't want anything short. I don't understand that. And apparently there's people here that will buy the elderly policies, 80, 90 years old, and wait for them. But, you know, we've already done that. We don't want to ever do that again. But we do people up to 74.
Hmm.
Now, most of our policies are 50 to 65 when we buy them. Most of the people with cancer are younger.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, because I know we've talked about, you know, elderly policies, and I know that you had a couple that just went on for a long time. You got them a long time ago. And so as you kind of hone the process a little bit and the types of policies, it still really comes down to you're only bidding on stage four cancer policies to prevent those types of things where they, you know, go on too long. And that's really, I guess, the cornerstone of what makes this such a fast turnaround for people to make profits.
I think so. We still have a couple of old policies. That's the last two. And when those are gone, we will never have those again. But most of the others, you know, they come in, a percentage comes in on time, a percentage comes in late, then a percentage comes in early. And we have a lot of them that come in early. And a lot of them come in on time, more so than late, which that makes it why it works so good. Because it's turning all the time. Policies are turning, people are getting their interest, and they love that.
And another important thing to point out is that if somebody does get into, like, say, a 30-month policy and it matures in, say, 18, it doesn't cut the profit. They still get their 30%. They just get it much faster and much sooner than they would have before.
That's exactly right. When you sign up, you know what you're going to make in advance. You're going to get your principal, you're going to get your interest at the end of the contract, and it never varies. If you're supposed to get 24%, that's what you'll get. If it's a 30% contract, you get 30. You always get principal plus interest, because someone did ask about that the other day. When do I get my interest? At the end of the contract. When that person passes away and the life insurance company pays off, that's when you get paid.
So it's not like, you know, if like you say, people know what they get when they, or what they're going to get paid when they come in. So it's not like if it's a 30-month policy and it comes in 24, well, you only get 24 because that's how long the policy went. They get the full thing. And I think that's, people don't really have that kind of opportunity to know not only what they're going to make, but they also get to know what they'll, you know, what would happen if it does go over. And that's one of the risks. And we'll get into that in just a few minutes. But for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
And don't forget your website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com, where people can get information about past investments, see profits that people have made, read testimonials, learn a little bit about the program if they want to, do a little bit of research before they call. That's an option as well. AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It's about golf.
Ooh.
I mean, it's been so cold this week, snow. I said we need to talk about golf or something, you know, that people do when it's warm.
Things to look forward to, yes.
That's right. How many golf courses do you think there are in Texas?
See, now you ask me these trick questions. 140.
907.
Wow.
You don't think everything's bigger and better in Texas? It is.
That's what I meant, 900.
Okay. The top golf course in Texas, you know what one it is?
No idea.
It's Wolf Point Golf Course. It's the top course in Texas, according to Golf Magazine.
Really?
Yeah. Let me tell you a little bit about it. It was built for a wealthy rancher's private playground. It is the St. Andrews of Texas.
Really?
It's one of the world's most exclusive courses. I didn't know that till today. Only 600 people have ever played this course.
Really?
Yeah, it looks like it's harmless. It looks flat, but it has a clover leaf design that makes the wind a constant challenge out there.
Oh, wow.
You won't find any ball washers, tee markers, yardages, but they do have camels and a private airstrip.
Wait a minute. Are we still talking about a golf course?
We're talking about a golf course.
With camels and an airstrip.
And a private airstrip. It is so exclusive. Only 600 people have ever played it.
Sweet. I love this.
Okay, let me give you the top 10 in Texas.
All right.
Whispering Pines.
Oh, of course.
The Colonial in Fort Worth.
Okay.
Trinity Forest in Dallas.
Okay.
Austin Golf Club. I don't know if you've played any of these.
No.
Now, Dallas National, let me tell you about Dallas National. I was not familiar with it. And the fee to get in is $180,000.
Really?
Yeah, a little higher than others. Because most of your private clubs, you know, are $50,000, $20,000, $150,000. Oak Hills in San Antonio is number 7. Blackjack National out in Montgomery. I've heard a lot about it. It's number 8. Then Brook Hollow in Dallas, you know how famous it is.
Mm-hmm.
Shady Oaks, the Champions in Houston, you know about it.
Yeah.
And then Barton Creek is number 12.
Really?
Yeah. So that gives you an idea of the top golf courses in Texas. The average temperature out on there is 64 degrees.
Perfect.
The annual precipitation and the rank is 34.
Hmm.
Yeah, and a lot of things people do not know, and I'm going to ask you some more trivia here, see if you know.
Okay.
Okay. Fun fact about it. Two times is not the charm on the green. What do you think the chances of making two holes in one in a single round of golf?
Oh, wow. Well, this is trick question day, isn't it?
It is trick question day.
I don't even know.
In 67 million.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
I would have never guessed that.
Okay. Do you know what the first golf balls were made of?
Fiberglass.
Thin leather stuffed with goose feathers.
Really?
And feather balls were used until 1848.
You're kidding me.
No. They were replaced with the gutty ball, named for the rubber-like sap of the gutta tree.
Wow.
Okay, where do you think the term birdie comes from?
I'm going to guess that probably... I don't even know. I don't even know where to start. I don't know.
It comes from the late 19th century when an American general named Abe Smith came up with the phrase bird of a shot.
Hmm. Yeah, I would have never gone there.
And that's how I came up with Birdie.
Never guessed that.
Okay. If you're feeling inadequate about your high handicap, and I won't ask you what it is.
Well, good.
the truth is 80% of all golfers never achieve a handicap of less than 18.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Now, do you know where the longest golf hole in the world is?
I want to say Australia.
No, the seventh hole of the Sano course at Suzuka Golf Club in Japan. It's 909 yards.
Good Lord, really?
Now then, do you think it's possible for a five-year-old to shoot a hole-in-one?
Well, I want to say no, but I'm going to guess, because this is Faye Bagby trivia, I'm going to say probably that's not correct.
The youngest golfer to ever do it was Cosby Orr. He was 5 years old in 1975 in Littleton, Colorado.
Really? 5 years
old? Littleton, Colorado.
Wow.
Okay, something about Phil Mickelson.
Oh.
You know he's a left-handed golfer.
Uh-huh.
But he was not actually born left-handed.
What?
He was born right-handed. He simply mirrored his father's left-handed swing as a child, and he never looked back.
You're kidding me. I had no idea.
Yeah. Everybody thinks he, you know, was left-handed. He wasn't. I don't know how he managed to do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm left-handed, and golf is so hard for me, it's unreal.
Wow.
Because they teach you right-handed. You know, they don't really teach you left-handed.
Jeez.
And and if you don't have left-handed clubs, it's very, very hard.
Yeah. It's, wow. I didn't know. I wonder now what he could do if he actually tried right-handed, which he was born with. Wow.
Okay. Do you know where the highest golf course in the world is?
I want to say Colorado, but I know that's not right.
It's in Peru.
Really?
It's 14,335 feet above sea level.
Huh.
Do you remember this? Has golf ever been played on the moon?
Yes.
Okay, who was it?
Neil Armstrong.
Alan Shepard.
That's what I meant. Oh!
Back in 1971, Apollo 14 astronaut Alan Shepard swung a one-handed shot with a six-iron. And you know why? It was all the pressure his suit would allow.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, with all the heavy suit, that's all he could do. And so he used the six-iron to do it.
Wow. I didn't know. I knew he had done it, but I didn't know that there was an actual, like, reason behind it. Wow.
There was a reason. So I just thought you need to have a little golf trivia because of the snow, and I thought it would be good for us, you know, give some people something to think about. And there's a lot of courses I did not mention that are great courses. There's one down by Big Bend that's fabulous. It's got every kind of hazard in the world.
Really?
Oh, yeah, and it's right there on the river, you know, and I think that's a great course. There's a lot of them that are great. Kerrville's got a couple of really great ones. So I encourage everybody to go out and try a new course, one they haven't tried before.
Yeah. Or you know, make a Texas course, like a travel thing for like the summer. Like each weekend, try maybe a different one.
That's right. And, you know, if they belong to somewhere like Club Corp, which I belong to, you can play any course in Texas, any private course you want, or you can go around the world and they will set it up for you anywhere in the world at Club Corp.
I want to go to the one with a camel in the airstrip.
Yeah, I wonder what it costs to go there. There's only 600 people have ever played it.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
I've been out in a lot of cow pastures and played it, but, you know, this place is so exclusive.
I've played a lot of mini golf. Hey, you want to hear a golf joke?
Yes.
I used to be so much into mini golf, like really, really into mini golf. In fact, I even tried to get some mini golf shoes, but they were all too small.
Okay. And why were they too small?
mini golf. Maybe I told it wrong.
Okay. yes.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. And the whole point of the investment of a life settlement is so that people can find new ways to, I guess, if they're stuck in some of the old, quote-unquote, old ways, the old-school ways of investing, and they're looking for things that are more conservative, this is really the way to do it. It is something that is like a, it's a strategy. It's not something that people should expect to come into overnight, invest in one policy, and then they're out and they're set for life. And I don't think most people do, but with it comes three major risks. And so the first one is...
If it goes over, that's your biggest risk of all. It could go over. You have to allow for a certain percentage to go over, just like you allow for a certain percentage to come in on time and some to come in early. So it just follows that they won't all come in early or on time. The second risk is it is not liquid. It is not liquid until it matures. And I think most people understand that. If you put your money in a policy, you can't get it back out until that person passes away. So that's a small risk. And then another small risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. We've never had one go under in Texas. We haven't had one going nationally for years because of the premium income. And we talk about that a lot. Premium income is everything. That's why you buy a life insurance company. It's for the premium income because you've got all that excess profit all the time. Because a percentage of the people will never cash in the policy. A percentage will let them drop, and that's just pure profit. A lot of people don't realize that. Every time you drop a life insurance policy, they've just made a huge profit. You paid on it for 5 years or 10 years, and then you let them have it.
Yeah, you just gave them free money.
Yeah, it's free money. And so they book it that way. They know there's a percent that will always drop those policies every year. I forget how many million dollars where the policies are dropped. So they book that immediately as a profit. They know they're not going to pay off on those.
Wow. And I never thought about that until we had started talking and you pointed that out. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's right. And that's apparently so many people will start one. They'll pay on it for a number of years and then just drop it. And
that's right. And they say, oh, we don't need that, really. And they let it go. That's crazy.
Wow. All right. So for people who are thinking, okay, well, this is really cool. I'm really, really interested. People should know, though, and it kind of helps put the risks back into a different perspective. In order to do a life settlement, you do have to be accredited. And so what does that mean?
You must be accredited. You must make $200,000 every year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. In Texas, you cannot count your home.
Okay. When people start to look at what they may have, I know a lot of people will start to do a little bit of, you know, they'll start running through things in their head. And then when it comes down to it, a lot of times you said in the past that people will forget about, you know, a particular asset. They'll forget about a 401k, or they'll forget about, or they didn't realize that they could count, you know, maybe a business or something like that. So what kinds of things do people generally overlook, not realizing that they need to count that?
Well, they forget that they have IRAs. Maybe they have more than one 401k. They may have an old 401k from a previous employer. They forget about that. They've got some CDs. They've got maybe cattle, or maybe they own their own business. If you own your own business, it may be worth $2 million, $4 million, half a million. All that counts. So you have to sit down and say, okay, what do I really own? Well, if you have life insurance, the cash value of that is good. Then you say you've got cattle, you've got a ranch, you may have a farm. And then you go, okay, I've got CDs. I've got a 401k here, and I've got another 401k there. Then I've got an IRA.
Okay. And we mentioned this because there are a number of people that actually come to you and they think, well, geez, I'm just below the threshold to be accredited. And then you start going through things and they start realizing, oh, wait, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. And that's enough to push them over, sometimes significantly push them over that line. And so it is worth addressing that, you know, to let people know that, hey, you might be accredited and not realize it. You haven't had that happen.
I have. And they went home and they added it all up and they were shocked at how much they were worth. The last time it happened, the people were really actually worth $1.5 million.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So they were way off. You know, they were so worried. They went home to add it up. When they did, they saw they had plenty. So they came back and did some deals with us. But I've got a lot of people right now, more than ever, coming with larger amounts of money, putting money in. They're not happy with where their money is now, I'll tell you. And then I've got people with CDs. I didn't know that any of my clients had CDs because, you know, they're with us. And a client called this week and said, I've got a couple of CDs coming due. Do you have something to put me in?
Hmm.
So in addition to what they've already got, they're wanting to put some stuff in some CDs.
So what if somebody's not accredited? I know a life settlement is really, it's really the goal. It's a really fantastic investment opportunity. But if somebody's not accredited, are there other options that they could or should take advantage of?
We can do annuities. It's very conservative. We had a client that just did some annuities with us. And it came out of a brokerage house. And we just did that. And you know, it pays good. You can take money the rest of your life. You can take 10% a year out the rest of your life. And it you can draw every year after 12 months. That's what I love about annuities. It's a conservative investment. The companies that we use are 100 years old. They're worth $50 billion minimum.
Wow.
So these are huge life insurance companies. And they pay good. I've had people that have been with these companies for 15 to 18 years.
Wow.
Yes.
Do you find... go ahead.
And I've never had one of them say, I think I'll cash money in, I don't like it. Never. With this particular company, I've never had anybody walk away.
Wow. Cool. One last question real quick. For life settlements, do you advise people to invest as a couple? So say the husband comes and talks to you. Is it a good idea to get the both spouses involved, or is it best to have
Well, if it's an IRA, it has to be in the husband's name. The wife will be the beneficiary. Now, they may have an IRA for each one of them, or they may have a joint account also. I have a lot of people that have a joint account. He has an IRA, she has an IRA, and the children have an IRA with me.
Oh, okay. So a lot of, there's a number of family members that can be involved at the same time.
They can all be involved in a different way. And we have a lot of families that the husband has his account, the wife has one, they have a joint one, and then the children have an account.
Okay, because I know that's part of, you know, financial planning is making sure that things are set up, you know, so that everybody's covered, everybody's involved, and you have the right, you know, I guess the right setup going in so that if, God forbid, something happens, people are taken care of. And, you know, I mean, that's really the ultimate goal anyway, is to make sure that families are.
And, you know, we don't ever mention it, but, you know, we've been with the Better Business Bureau since 2003. We're an accredited business with them. And not everybody's accredited that's a member of the Better Business Bureau, but we do happen to be.
That's cool. That's worth noting. Obviously, that's
it's
a big deal.
It's worth noting.
Yeah. So, all right, Faye, what are we doing for appointments this coming week? Zoom?
We will be talking to people on the phone. We will set them up and have them go see Claudia due to the weather. We can set people up. Starting on Monday.
All right. So one last time, Faye, for people to come make an appointment to talk to you, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, which is really important, is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.